You're on ABC local radio. Now, it's pretty early on a Saturday morning, which means you might be getting up to go do a ride or a run or something healthy, or you might like to think that that's something that you might be doing. What if you are going to the gym? Now, I don't want to scare you here. Gyms are good. They make you more toned, hopefully a bit fitter, get your heart pumping, stop your body withering away. But what about all the surfaces you touch at the gym? How many people use your gym? Should you be worried? Professor Gordon Lynch, who joins us this time every week, might have the answer to these questions. Morning, Professor.
Good morning, Tim.
How worried should we be about the surfaces at our gym?
I'm not saying that you should cancel your gym membership, Tim. Most good quality gyms and health clubs have good hygiene and take this issue very seriously. But regardless of that, there are some simple precautions we can take to minimise potential problems. And the sorts of things, when you talk about surfaces and so on, it's about the gym is a public place, and it could be at work, and it's another form of, people exercising and sweating and so on. There are potential risks if people don't follow the right sort of correct hygiene or respect for others. And it's just because there are multiple users. So I'm thinking that, we can take some precautions just to minimise the risks.
What are the risks, and what are the things that we should be doing? I suppose hand washing is one as soon as you finish. I've noticed that at some gyms they have one of those pump packs that has that alcohol in it. Does that work, that alcohol stuff?
It's sort of better than nothing. It's antibacterial. You can apply it to a cloth or whatever. Usually they're just those disinfecting wipes, so they're already coated and they can wipe the equipment and throw it in the bin. I think they're the sorts of things. But the sorts of risks we're talking about are bacteria which can cause, a range of illnesses like skin infections. But it could be more serious if we think about even in hospitals where these infections break out. They can be, pretty serious things. I'm going back a few years, but there was a study of 5 gym surfaces at 3 different gyms at different times, and they examined all these different bacterial cultures, and they found no evidence of staphylococcal infections. And they said, the surface to skin contact in gyms didn't play a significant role in the transmission of infection. But another study, so this is all the thing about research, is one study finding one thing and another. Another study looked at staph contamination at gym surfaces. This was at a university fitness centre, so maybe it might be slightly different, but they found 10 out of the 99 samples had some bacteria. So things like the elliptical machines, the recumbent bikes, the workout benches, where people are putting their hands or they're resting their head or their sweaty bodies, some of the weight machines had the same things. They were the ones that had some level of contamination. Other things, like the treadmill, free weights, those sorts of things, were actually free of contamination. Now, there are only 2 studies that I'm pointing out, and there haven't been too many others. I think I'm going back maybe 4 or 5 years. I think it was a follow-up study last year, but very few studies have looked at this question. But I think it's important that we recognise that these are public places. Sometimes not everybody will be following the right hygienic practices, but you can make sure that you can minimise the risk, I think, just by following some simple procedures which just minimise the risk.
And what are some of those things you can do?
You mentioned washing your hands, and I think that's, after exercise, you should wash your hands at least for, say, 20 seconds in warm water and soap before you touch your face or you start eating food. Because you've touched surfaces in that place, you just need as a standard practice to make sure that your hands are clean. Another thing I'd suggest, wherever possible, and it's not always going to be possible, but you can bring your own equipment. So if you're doing yoga, you can have your own yoga mat. If you're doing a boxing class, you might have your own boxing gloves as opposed to sharing that other person might have. You never ever share a towel. That's I think one thing that we should always think about. If you've got a scratch or a minor wound or something, cover it with a Band-Aid. You don't want to have the possibility of a skin infection being transmitted if there's a break in the skin. So if you're, you know, going into a spa or the pool, you should wait till those minor wounds have healed. The other thing I'd mention too is about, you know, but often we go into a pool or a spa at these sort of health clubs and gyms. Make sure you shower before you get into the pool or spa. So that means you're minimizing introducing bacteria into those pools and spas, and shower after. Another thing about in wet areas, make sure you're wearing flip-flops or thongs around the pool, and making sure that you're minimising the chance for fungal infections.
Yes, it is a very good point. And I find that with tinea and the whole walking on surfaces, like showers, the worst time is winter, because that's when you're actually covering your feet and things can germinate. Usually in summer you'd never know, because you half the time you haven't got shoes on, and so there's no chance for tinea and those sorts of infections to really kick off, whereas winter's when it really matters to wear that sort of protection on your feet, you know, flip-flops, thongs or whatever. Professor Gordon Lynch, thank you so much.